So the biggest thing we got to remember up here about the tongue is control. But I think another big thing about the tongue, it's not just control, but it's more of a... When somebody speaks and says something to somebody else, what's the most important part of that? This is kind of a... I have things called mic questions. They're really hard to get the answer to. I use them on the middle schoolers. I use them on the high schoolers. Now I use them on the adults. Yeah, exactly. Well, you look at me the same way the middle schoolers do.
I think, you know, before we use our tongue, we need to think about what it is we're saying.
Okay, we need to think about what we're saying.
Yeah,
okay.
Jesus says, out of the heart of man comes.
What's that? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Wade, what were you saying?
I was going to say what you said. It's a reflection of your heart. And so, instead, your heart is bad, your tongue is going to reveal that. If your heart is good, your tongue is going to reveal that.
Okay. Actually, it can be a reflection of your heart. It can also be a mask for your heart, too. It could be either one. It's a slippery little devil. Think about it there. Now, I was trying to get to the point that when you say something, it's, you know, you're saying something with a certain intent, but it's all the matter of the person that's hearing it. You know, how do they hear it? So how many times have you said something with one intent that was entirely misinterpreted at the other end? No? Always crystal clear.
No, a lot of it is tone also.
Tone?
I mean, you can say exactly the same thing, but the tone that you say it can be a different.
Yeah. Like, you're really bright, or you're really bright. Yeah, you're right. Tone can make a big difference in how you say things and how they're understood at the other end. Tones can be misinterpreted. Okay, now I'm going to actually let you have the handout. As you can see from the list, and those of you that already printed off the list, and I'm not going to go around and ask everybody how many read all the scriptures, although they're pretty short, but you can see that the tongue is mentioned fairly often in the Proverbs, and in fact in the scripture. And I let out with the first one, you know, I titled my tongue, The Tongue, Friend or Foe. I guess we have more. Who wants one that didn't get one? Okay. Okay, the tongue, friend or foe, because it can be either one. Or I thought about making it adversary or ally. Let me see, there was another one that came up with two, good or evil, but that was too easy. I like the ones where I have to start the same letter. Okay, friend or foe. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, which I know we've read already in the class here, and it says, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. You know, if you look at that verse right there, there's three instances where the tongue has an effect. You have a lying tongue, a false witness that utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers, which is normally through the tongue. So the tongue, just as was read in James, which I quote later on, James chapter 3, verses 3 to 12, mention a whole lot about the tongue and the dangers of it. Certainly lets us know about the threat that we carry within our little mouth, or big mouths in some cases. But we have this with us all the time, and I can't tell you how many times it's gotten me in trouble. And is there anybody here that could say honestly that their tongue never got them in trouble? Now, good. Glad to see we're all in agreement there. Let's take a look at some of the verses, and we're not going to cover all these verses that I wrote down here or that were provided to me. Some I found, some were given on the list that Dave handed me in preparation for this lesson. But if we look at the wise or foolish, let's turn to chapter Proverbs 15:2. Can somebody read Proverbs 15:2 and 15:7 for me? Anybody? Okay, and verse 7 also?
The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of the
Okay? So here we have a couple contrasts there, the wise and the foolish. Both of us use our tongues. How does the wise, what makes a wise person, I mean, what defines a wise person the use of their tongue? What would you think of as being a wise person?
They use it properly.
They use it properly?
At the right time.
At the right time.
Benefits others.
Benefits others.
Don't you think that's a general answer? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I feel like something that just gently telling somebody something that they're wrong.
Okay. So that would go along with maybe the tone or understanding of the message. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to impart? What about the foolish person? What do they do? I can speak to that one. They just spout folly. How do you spout folly? How do you normally spout folly?
Without thinking.
Without thinking, you just blurt something out. What's one of the things that happens when you blurt something out? What might it actually be more reflective of, so to speak?
It's probably
what you're really thinking or what you really feel. So when you blurt something out and you get in trouble for it or it's not received very well, what does that maybe possibly mean? Okay, maybe you need to change your attitude there. Maybe it's an indication that you need to start rewiring your thinking a little bit there. Certainly need to start thinking. But maybe you need to rewire things, so even when you blurt things out, you blurt out the right thing instead of blurting out the wrong thing. Okay, let's go to chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. I have a volunteer for that one.
My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart also will be glad, and my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right.
Okay. What's a lesson that can be derived from this verse?
Well, the heart is wise.
Yeah. I was focusing on my son. it's a lesson. What's that? You affect other people. And you can use your tongue, certainly for guidance. I think we had it up here, or guidance can... sharing the gospel. Could have put guidance up here. These are for guidance. And what's more important, we've already had the lessons about, you know, your sons and your daughters and how important it is to guide them. Here's someone speaking to their son. Now, I also wrote down 23:9, which wasn't on the list here. But if we read 23:9, what does it say there? Do not speak in the hearing of a fool. I mean, how do you apply that? Choose who you speak to? You can't always choose who you speak to. Okay.
Well, they don't really want to hear and correct them for knowledge, so they just kind of, you know.
Okay. I mean, but, you know, during the Proverbs, I thought, okay, here's talking. It's a lesson here. It's your tongue. Don't speak in the hearing of a fool. What do fools do? What might fools do with your words? Twist them. Yeah. Yeah. If we turn, let's go to chapter 17, Proverbs 17:28. There's one I like there because it goes along with a little saying that I try to keep in mind. And 17:28, what does that say?
Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. Closes his lips, he is considered prudent.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little saying I always keep in mind, it's better to sit there and look like a fool than open your mouth and prove it. So, that sort of goes along with it.
The verse in chapter 23 where he's talking to his son is showing how to make your words acceptable. And you couldn't do that to a fool whom you have no relationship with. This would be someone you have a relationship with. And if you're wanting to make my heart delight, then... you know, be wise. It's basically what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say that to a fool, because a fool could care less whether your heart delights or not.
Or
it does show how to make your words acceptable.
And the fool also probably doesn't even recognize your wisdom. It's like you said, the fool will take those words and use them for some other purpose. And And how often, what examples do we have of people using their words, somebody's words, to another purpose? Do we have any current examples? Yeah, I'd say we get them every day on the radio, listening to the politics as they take people's words and twist them to their advantage or disadvantage, whatever it might be. Yeah, we certainly see enough of that anymore. Okay, let's go back to the righteous or the wicked. You know, it's kind of neat to see which one is it here. Let's go to chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. Okay, and let's go ahead and read also verses 31 and 32 in the same proverb.
The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness.
Okay, our mind speaks the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted. So what should we be speaking all the time? If we think about our tongue, think about talking, I mean, what's the safe things to be saying?
Because the oracles of God.
Aha. Okay. We can certainly, hopefully, speak from the Bible. That would seem to be a safe course.
You go to the first analogy you're using about being full or dying of starvation. You speak things that feed other people.
Okay.
They can nourish them.
Okay, so that would go along with the good side here. We're looking for things that encourage other people. We can skip criticism for a moment. We're going to share the gospel, teach. We can bless people, pray and praise. We can confess, sing, and I'm not sure about expose. We'll leave that one for later on in the lesson here. So we can do all of those things, which are positive things that we can use our tongue for. Let's go. Looks like, no, go ahead. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give
us...
What's that?
That's even criticism.
Exactly. That's where this fits on both sides here. Mm-hmm. You know, criticism can be good or bad. We're called upon at times to speak... We're supposed to speak the truth to those individuals, to other individuals. I think the biggest challenge is not speaking the truth, but how do we speak it in a loving and kind manner? Because that's what's more difficult. How do you bring bad news to somebody in a more acceptable way, but the message is still there? That's where you really need to be thinking about how you use your tongue. I'm going to jump ahead to gossip because I want to do something with that one. So here, because this is like class participation days, everybody have a pen or something to write with? Okay, so I got blank cards here. You need a pen. So what I would like you to do is take a moment and just write down your own definition of gossip. What is gossip? Oh, sorry. You may. Thank you. Anybody still thinking, or does everybody have their definition written out? Okay, who would like to share their definition of gossip? No one.
I put that gossip is puffing up yourself and at the same time deflating others.
Okay.
Hearsay without proof.
Hearsay without proof. Okay.
Spreading stories.
Spreading stories.
Information about someone else that's passed on to others without benefit to anyone.
Okay.
True or otherwise.
Okay.
Useless or harmful information that may be distorted or incorrect.
Okay.
Things uttered to the detriment of others with the intent to malign, tear down, or otherwise hurt.
Okay.
I put down spreading information, good or bad, about someone that you've heard directly from them or indirectly to others without their permission.
Okay. Ron, what do you have?
Begin behind people's back, something you wouldn't say to their face.
Okay. That's probably a good one to keep in mind there. Anybody else want to share their definition of gossip?
Speaking truth or what you think is truth, not in love.
Okay.
Say that again.
Speaking truth or what you think is truth, not in love.
Not in love, okay. And if you look at the bottom of my page here, 1 Timothy said the same, you know, gossip is a threat, and I don't want to say it's just the widows here, but this is what it's about. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go about from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Okay, so that might be a definition of gossip there, but talking about things not proper to mention. But as we consider this verse, what is a facilitator to gossiping? What's that? Idleness. Yeah. Haven't got enough to do. You haven't got enough to do, then you think of things to do, and it thinks usually it leads itself to thinking about others and what can you say about these people. How many people, I'm sure everybody here in their workplace or somewhere in their acquaintance have somebody that they think of as being a gossip? Of course, if you can't think of them in the workplace, you can find them all over the TV or on the radio. Okay, so it's not just the... So actually, it takes two idle people, one with enough time to make up and say these things, and another one with enough time to listen to them. So idleness is a threat on both sides there. Okay, so let's turn to some of the verses about gossip, because you'll notice gossip just about has more verses than anything else, so I think that's a significant threat. So let's turn to chapter 10, verse 18. If somebody could read that, and then follow it with 11, 13, 16, 28. We'll go ahead and read all of these, so just jump in there. And those of you that are thinking ahead, pick one near the end. That way you can jump in ahead of others.
10:18, he who conceals hatred is lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool.
Okay, so we got slander. I'm going to write these things up, okay?
And they have the next verse?
11:13 says, the gossip of friends is confident, but a trustworthy man keeps the secret.
Okay. I wrote down betrayal.
15:28 says, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate things.
I put out separation and strife.
17:9, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends.
Same thing.
So there's repetition.
18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels that go down into the innermost parts of the body.
Okay, so if we consider that verse, what's important to know about gossip? Recognize about it. It's fun. It's a dainty morsel.
My version says it's completely different.
What's yours say?
It says the words of a talebearer are as wounds.
Oh, really?
They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So it's almost like a fatal wound.
So it's a little different. Yeah, certainly different. So we can look at it as being both a fatal wound, but one that's very appealing to many people. Okay. Okay, what did we finish them all there? I was losing track. Okay. Okay. And 2019?
Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler.
Okay.
Put down reveal.
Okay, and the last one, 2620, I think we've already...
The lack of wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases.
Where there's no whisper, what's it say there?
Quarreling ceases.
Quarreling ceases, okay. So a whisperer is synonymous, it seems to be, with a gossip or a slanderer. Why would a whisperer be synonymous with that? Why do they use whisperer? Okay, secretive. How many times when you hear somebody gossip, what tone of voice are they using, or how loud are they? My ears always perk up when I hear somebody talking in a normal tone of voice, and then all of a sudden they go, go quieter. At that point, you know they're talking about something that they don't want you to hear, whatever it might be. And so how many times is that the telltale sign of a gossip? Their voices get lower and they start talking about the person. So certainly be considered a whisper. Okay, so now you've got your sheets of paper there. We're going to go through a little example. So let's say that we have person, I'm not going to use any names for fear somebody, so we have person alpha observes person bravo do something. Okay, now person alpha talks to person Charlie and says, I saw person bravo do this thing. Okay, keep them all straight. Okay. Alpha talking, he observed, alpha observed, I got to keep it straight. Bravo did, and then he, Alpha, told Charlie, and then Charlie tells Delta. At what point is it gossip? A and B. And C. Okay. Does everybody agree that's when it becomes gossip? Okay, because we had, you know, Alpha saw Bravo do this thing. And Alpha just told Charlie, I saw so-and-so do this thing.
Not necessarily gossip.
Ah, not necessarily gossip.
A observed B mugging someone, and C was a policeman.
Okay, good. We got the lawyer perspective here.
It all depends on the motives for telling. That's true of all
gossip. Okay, so motives are an important part of this. Okay.
Well, there's nothing more shocking than walking in the church building and have people going, oh, I heard about blah, 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 that you did. And you're like going, that was in my backyard. Someone see or hear about that.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so I don't know. That's true. I think the motive is absolutely right. And it wasn't bad news, it was just something that...
Just surprising that it was...
Neutral, but it was just surprising that someone else...
Surprising it was out there.
And said something about it.
Okay.
It was even more disturbing when it's in your living room.
When it's in your living room? Okay. not going to go there. Okay. So, motive defines possibly when it becomes gossip. What, from what we were reading about, what are the motives usually of a gossiper?
Chew the fat.
What's
that? To chew the fat.
Chew the fat. Okay, they're killing time.
Puffing themselves up.
Puffing themselves up.
Making themselves look important, like they're in the know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone who thinks they are trying to make themselves appear more important than possibly they are. Okay. What else was important about motive of gossip?
Just being idle.
Being idle. Yeah.
Hurt somebody.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard the gossip of, yeah, so-and-so was out and she took this homeless family out to work or out to lunch. Did you hear that around the gossip? Not that often.
And sometimes you hear good news.
Yeah, sometimes you hear good news.
I mean, I think it's a matter of, hey, I'm in the know, so I'm going to spread this information.
Okay. Okay. Like I said, when it's bad news, what's the motive usually? Motive usually, I think, most gossips, I believe their motive is not good most of the time. They're saying something negative about the other person or negative about something that occurred, whatever it might be. I mean, I think that almost goes along with the title of gossip, is that they're up to no good. They're the whisperer. But, okay, so we have A observed, told C, told D, B did this D, whatever it was. We talked about motive being something that defines whether or not it becomes gossip. Anything else that defines? I mean, is it really then just, is it gossip as soon as A observed it and C, and he told C? At that point, is it gossip?
It is. It might be something good, the person.
Okay, might be something good. So, apparently the message defines whether or not it's gossip?
Busybody if it's good?
I don't know.
I mean, it's still the purpose. I mean, if A observed B doing some wonderful thing and he just wanted to tell C what a wonderful person B was for doing that, that's not gossip. That's praise of a good thing.
Okay.
It all comes down to what your purpose of telling telling the news.
Okay. So praise never becomes gossip.
Well, if I have to consider B too, because maybe if somebody did something good, maybe they didn't want that to be quiet. Maybe they didn't want to get something to do.
Ah. So they didn't want the praise of men.
Yeah.
Okay. I think there was one of the words we read about the gossiper reveals secrets. So
this summer when I called an old classmate, I had seen her a few times, you know, stuff back home, just to ask about the time clock and going to the 50th, and then I said, oh, we met her silent photo, and how beautiful she was last time. I thought, I know, she started telling me all this bad stuff about her. Excuse me, I mean, I don't live back here, so I don't know this, but I still really don't care. I mean, you know, I just kind of got to go that way.
Okay, so what are our responsibilities? Okay.
Stop it.
Let's say we're in this position. Okay, so we're all Christians here now. So Christian A saw Christian B do something and told Christian C, who told Christian D.
Christian C and Christian D did go to Christian A and say, that's nice, and just that be the end of it.
Ah, okay. Well, except that, you know, this is going indirectly. So it's, you know, Christian A told Christian C. Christian C, what should Christian C do?
That's nice.
Okay. Christian C should stop it right there. So you're saying Christian C, at this point, just cut it off. Mm-hmm. Quit telling other people. Okay.
Well, if it's something wrong, I think C would have an obligation to tell A, you need to go directly to B.
Ah, okay. And that's what I was looking for. Yeah, I think our responsibility is, certainly if B did something wrong, at least wrong in whose eyes?
I mean, the question would be, just not sure. You need to, you know, settle this with the person who did.
Exactly. That's what we're told to do in the scripture. Go see the person.
If you don't work it out, then you'll come back in the book.
Yep. Yeah, there is a proper procedure for dealing with situations like that. And you go and talk to the person, because how many times can what you see be misinterpreted? Yet how many times do we repeat what we saw and or heard, and at that point we spread our interpretation of what happened? We don't know for certain what the person may have had in their mind, why they may have been doing that. You know, you saw Christian A go into a bar, and you go, ooh, I saw Christian A go into the topsy-turvy bar last week. Okay. Is that good or bad? Well, you don't know if he drank anything, yeah. Okay. It could be good or bad. You don't know why they were going into the bar. They may have been going in there for a meeting and said, I'll meet you there to talk about the gospel. Now, I think we could debate appearances. might have tried to find a better place to meet, but could be that was the only place he could. I don't know.
Maybe brother's the bartender and he's trying to talk him out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, maybe it's relatives in there. Yeah.
You're trying to teach the gospel. You're trying to teach anything. You meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he was.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying there's a situation where, and you know, I think I've heard things like that before about people. I saw so-and-so do such and such. Well, without knowing what's going on, it could appear to be bad.
If A had B's permission to sell, then that's fine.
Okay. And the other one, you know, and how many times have we done the little lesson of, you know, the can and the string, or, you know, whisper to your friend, and whisper to your friend, whisper to your friend, whisper to your friend. I think we've all had the illustration to see that, you know, it never comes out the other end as it came in, as it happened at the beginning. And how many, you know, and if I'm the second one in the chain, there's a very good chance I got it wrong right there. So you just never know. And that's what gossip is. It's just the word of mouth of people that didn't witness what actually happened. I think that's maybe the definition I sort of try to hold to. If I didn't observe it myself, I don't really feel comfortable talking about it. So I'll go along and say, okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing. That's all I need to know. And that would be the end of it. So.
You know, the thing to do is ask A, so why are you telling me that?
Well, okay. that's a good one. Put A on the spot.
Uh-huh. So why do you think I didn't know this?
Yeah. What was important about this? Uh-huh. Yeah. How many conversations could we kill? Yeah. But there's probably a good thing to try. Okay, so I think gossip is one of the more dangerous things in the list here. I mean, that I consider to be the insidious one that everyone can fall prey to. You know, you like to repeat something that's interesting. Yeah, the dainty morsel. You like to give those dainty morsels out. And whether it's not because, you know, you want to feel puffed up and feel more important in that other person's eyes, or whatever the motive might have been. But I think it's very easy to fall into gossip or to start listening to gossip. Carrie?
What, especially when it's dangerous thing that we agree it's bad and we think other people are doing that. We never stop and wonder what they're doing. And plus, it's a culturally accepted thing. You know, part of Southern culture is if you can't say something nice about somebody, pull up a chair next to me. So, in cultures, it might be, you know, thought of, oh, well, that's just normal.
Uh-huh.
And it's not here to say.
Yeah.
Not only that, but, you know, all the Hollywood rags, you know, gossiping about celebrity is just as bad as gossiping about your friend. It's all the same. It's not just a Southern culture, but it's nationwide.
Breaking news story about whatever. Divorce A, B, you know. Mm-hmm. And they don't usually stick to just the facts.
Yeah.
They've always got to take the facts, and then they've got to paint their own picture of why this may have occurred, which at this point, to me at least, becomes gossip, because they don't know. They're just guessing.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Okay, we won't get started on the media, because I'm sure we could all join in about the media. Okay, so if we look at our list then of other perils or positives of the tongue, which other one, and like I said, I thought gossip stands out, and we're running out of time, so I thought I'd just throw it open to the crowd, but what other one is important?
Well, one comment, and I was just reading through some of these, and I was reading on the power of the tongue,
mm-hmm.
and the verse that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof, and it made me think about a current issue today for children with bullying, and how the tongue can be used for bullying other kids, and it has led to that, because some individuals have been so traumatized by that.
Which sort of leads to I have a series of questions. So I said, you know, how can the tongue hurt you? Well, we listed how it can be bad and how it can hurt. How it can help you? We've listed those things. Can the tongue do both at the same time? Yes, it can do both at the same time. You could say something in a loving manner that actually hurts the other person. So it's, again, in how well you know the individual you're speaking to and how well you voice your message. You can do both at the same time. What should you consider before using the tongue? What should you consider before using the tongue? What's that?
The impact on other people.
The impact on other people? I'm getting back to
your own motive.
Your motive. Yeah, what's your motive for saying something? That's true. Okay. Thinking before you use your tongue. I know. Okay, and then question five. What do we have today that can be as helpful or hurtful as our tongue and is used in much the same way? Email.
Facebook.
Yeah, that's become today's tongue. Texting. What's that?
Twitter.
Twitter. Oh, see, I forgot all about Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't have a Facebook account. I use instant messaging. I use email. I'm getting enough trouble with email. I don't need the rest of them. Yeah, we use a lot of things today that substitute or are equally hurtful or basically the way we take, way kids now converse with one another. You know, they won't even speak to each other when they're 5 feet apart. They're on their phones texting to one another. That's how they talk. So we have a lot of things today that can be as hurtful as the tongue, and not necessarily tongue, but they certainly, what do they do? What do they really, what do these things actually do?
They actually provide evidence of the things that we weren't saying before. But now, people know what we said.
and even worse, just you said they provide evidence, because as soon as you send that thing out, it became a text that's attached to you.
I mean, in ways, it's good. Uh-huh. Because, you know, before we said these things, and we set them behind people's backs, and no one knew, and so we did all these horrible things, but people just didn't know about it. Now people know about it, and that's bad. The effects are worse because of that.
Yeah.
But in the sense of, you know, if you're being more open and honest with the things that you say, it's a regulator, and it's a good thing.
Well, I think what they do is they probably give you a good feel for what the person's really like.
Well, I have to say that, you know, I'm on Facebook, and there's a lot of people on Facebook, and there's a very big difference between the types of information that's put out there by brothers and sisters, and I would say 99.9% of it is encouraging, compared to maybe some that you see from, you know, high school friends that you may have known or work friends that you know may know. There is a contrast there. So I wouldn't lump the, I mean, there is a lot of people that lump Facebook as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think it can be a very good thing, too, because it is, you see a lot of encouraging things out there.
Yeah, it can be bad or good. It's all in the motive, you know, how are you using it? And I don't know, like I said, I don't get on Facebook. I hear these things secondhand, which I guess makes it gossip. So in which case, by my own definition, I shouldn't say anything more. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah, if someone is going to publish it to the world, then I guess that's
yeah, and then the rest of the... Okay, and then I did put John James talking about the threat of the tongue. I listed the whole scripture there. But as we go down the list, yeah, the tongue can be wise, foolish. There's appropriate times to talk, appropriate times to listen. I think that's also a very important thing to keep in mind. silence is not only golden. Sometimes it's better to not say anything than to say something. It goes back to my own little saying there. We need to control our tongue. Watch out. What does flattery do? Why do people use flattery? What's the purpose of flattery?
Insincere or sincere?
Either one.
Some people use flattery and deal with something they want.
Okay.
Others, you know, use flattery just in communication with the only other person.
I think manipulate is different from flattery to say you can't look too nice today. So it's just different. It can be used as encouragement also. If it's sincere.
Okay. I don't know. I've personally, I think of flattery as just being negative, because I think it's flattery. You're flattering somebody. It's for your own purpose. It's your motive. You're using it for some reason. Other ones I think of being like praise or just being kind, but not necessarily flattery. I don't know. I always think of flattery as sort of negative. okay, we talked about slander and gossip. We talked about how words can be hurtful. Quarreling. Can't even say it, see? I'm not very good at it. But we certainly do get into quarrels. Lying is an easy one. So that's why I didn't really go there. And then the power of the tongue, as we've already discussed, it's very, it can be very powerful, and at least to people dying these days. For reasons that shouldn't be, they should not take it that seriously, but they do, especially in today's youth.
There's a lot of sins in the Bible that you can guard yourself against. You can put up walls to keep from being stolen from. You can build protection to keep you from being murdered. It's very difficult to protect yourself against a tongue when someone has the intent of harm against you. And I think that's one of the reasons that God speaks against it so much, especially here in the Proverbs. Because it can be so destructive, and the person on the bad end of that has very little protection.
Mm-hmm. As I said, you know, get back to my thing on the tongue. I'd write up there. You know, it can be your friend or your foe, mm-hmm. and you just have to be careful on how you use it. It can be your weapon or your shield. Okay. Well, thanks.
There aren't very many gentlemen or ladies left in this world.
That's true. What words of wisdom? What?
It's a pretty good book,
it?
Actually. It's like things you don't say
yeah.
and things you should say.
Thank you. What a lovely gift.
Yeah, I mean, it's just real simple, everyday things that, you know,
yeah,
boys need
little,
to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there aren't, you know, walk through a high school, there aren't many people talking kindly or saying thank you. And
no.
If you do, you definitely stand
that was
out
a good little
for
book.
Sure. It is a good
Where'd you find
book.
That?
It was at Joseph Banks. We
oh, yeah?
couldn't afford it
oh, yeah?
in the store, but I got
that. Usually you go, I don't think of that as a bookstore, but okay.
Yeah. I think you can get it anywhere. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of good things like that.
Well, I think, you know, the Bible teaches us to come to